Happy March! Trite though the expression may be, I hope the records I've picked out for the next hour will put a little spring in your step.
I've got
a funny feeling round my heart.
I don't know
when to stop or when to start.
It must be love.
It must be love.
I'm thinking of
that tender path.
That
palpitation feels just simply grand.
It's
something strange that I don't understand.
Oh, I can see
a wedding band when I hold your hand.
Oh, when I hold your hand,
sweetness, my little star, sweetness, that's what you are. You're cute, you're sweet, you're mighty fine, you're sweeter than the watermelon smiling on the vine above. I love, hey, don't you know how deep? Don't let me go, I'll hang around till the sun goes down. For hope you'll sleepless.
I guess
I'm crazy about my lady love.
I get
so sick of hearing purple dove.
That awful name.
Ain't it a shame to call you that?
I'm going
to call you sweetness until dark.
And then
I'll call you out to stroll apart.
Oh, underneath
that simmon tree, you can happy be.
Oh, you can happy be.
Isn't that nice? That's the Columbia Quartet singing a song called Sweetness, recorded in New York City in November of 1910. That was quite a surprising find for me this past week. I was pawing through a crate of acoustic Columbia 78s, things I don't get around to listening to that often, and something about the label of this caught my eye, and I pulled it out, put it on, and was very pleasantly surprised, because it's an unaccompanied male quartet singing popular music. Those of you familiar with the era may know that those aren't all that common. Usually, male quartets singing pop music would be accompanied by a piano or even more likely a band. Most of the a cappella stuff you find is religious in nature, but not this one. A great pop song, Sweetness, sung by the Columbia Quartet. Incidentally, the composer of that was a man named Tom Lemonnier, who is perhaps not especially well remembered today, although he was quite successful in his own time. He appeared as a performer, he was a composer, a lyricist, involved with a handful of productions on Broadway in New York, including, or maybe off-Broadway, but productions, musical productions in New York nonetheless, including Little Miss Brown, Rufus Rastus, Indahomey, and Sons of Ham, among others. He was affiliated with that sort of Clef Club group of composers that included Will Marion Cook, James Reese Europ, and some of those others. He also collaborated with Joe Jordan, and so, you know, well-connected guy, and wrote a handful of tunes, and that's probably one of my favorite of his, Sweetness. Well, the introduction's a little late in coming this time, but my name is Brian Wright, and as you probably know, this is the Shellac Stack, a program that features 78 RPM records from the first half of the 20th century. And as usual, it's another real mixed bag today. And we're going to start off with some good boogie records. I don't know why I just felt like hearing these. though maybe the purists might scream these are more pseudo-boogie records. But be that as it may, I like them. Both on the Capitol label, and we'll hear both of these performed by the composers, at least the nominal composers listed on the label. They may have had a little bit of help, at least in the first case, but who knows. First up, it's Tennessee Ernie Ford, the same Tennessee Ernie who appeared on I Love Lucy in the 1950s, and the same Tennessee Ernie who had a big hit with 16 Tons. How many other Tennessee Ernies were there? but here he is singing one of his early big hits from 1951. Capitol reissued this a number of times. It's the Shotgun Boogie. And after that, we'll hear Nellie Lutcher and his rhythm, also on Capitol, and the Lake Charles Boogie, recorded a few years earlier in Chicago in 1948. Two Capitol records, two boogies. First Tennessee Ernie, here's the Shotgun Boogie.
There it stands in the corner with the barrel so straight. I look out the window and over the gate. The big fat rabbits are jumping in the grass. Wait till they hear my old shotgun blast. Shotgun Boogie, I done saw your track. Look out, Mr. Rabbit, when I cock my hammer back. Well, over on the ridge is a scaly bark. Hickory nuts are big, you can see them in the dark. The big fat squirrels, they scratch and they fight. I'll be on that ridge before daylight with the Shotgun Boogie. All I need is one shot. Look out, bushy tail, tonight you'll be in the pot. I met a pretty gal, she was tall and thin. I asked her what she had, she said a Fox 410. I looked her up and down, said, boy, this is love. So we headed for the brush to shoot a big fat dove. Shotgun Boogie, boy, the feathers flew. Look out, Mr. Dove, when she draws a bead on you. I sat down on a log, took her on my lap. She said, wait a minute, bud, you got to see my pap. He's got a 16-gauge choked down like a rifle. He don't like a man that's a-gonna trifle. Shotgun Boogie draws a bead so fine. Look out, big boy, he's loaded all the time. Called on her pap like a gentleman oughter. He said, no brush hunter's gonna get my daughter. He cocked back the hammer right on the spot. When the gun went off, I outrun the shot. Shotgun Boogie, I wanted wedding bells. I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
Charles, oh, Lake Charles, oh, Lake Charles, oh, Lake Charles. Now
There's just something about the cymbal and drum work in that record, not to mention Nellie Lutcher's own vocal and piano stylings, that I find so appealing. Nellie Lutcher and her rhythm, the Lake Charles Boogie, recorded in Chicago in 1948. That was Capitol record number 15148. Before that, Tennessee Ernie Ford, Capitol 1626 from 1951. Big, big hit for him, the Shotgun Boogie. Both of those clocking out at exactly 2 minutes and 36 seconds. I just noticed that. Well, both of those also were in the very first box of 78s I ever got as a kid. I was about 5 years old, and an uncle had just given me his old, unwanted KLH turntable, which happened to play 78s. And a next-door neighbor of mine at the time was kind enough to kick in a box of old records from his shed that he didn't want anymore, which included some old Van and Skank things on Columbia, and curiously, both of those. I'm ashamed to say, though, that my 5-year-old self wasn't nearly as careful with my records as I am today, and somewhere along the line, both of those were casualties to a child's organizational skills, shall we say, or lack thereof. Both of them got broken. I'm very pleased, though, that in the years since then I've been able to acquire replacement copies, because I do like those and they have a lot of fond memories for me. Tennessee Ernie and Nellie Lutcher. Well, like most of us in the United States, maybe you had to change your clocks today. It was time for daylight savings to begin, and so I had that in mind as I reached for this next record on the shelf. It's Margaret Whiting from 1947 singing a Richard Rodgers and Lorenz Hart tune, I Didn't Know What Time It Was, which is how some of us may have felt this morning when waking up and trying to remember, did I set that clock forward last night or not? Is it really 10 o'clock or is it 11? Anyway, we'll hear Margaret Whiting wonder about that, and then we'll hear Nat Shilkret and the Victor Orchestra from November of 1926 with Gladys Rice singing the vocal, Harbach, Hammerstein, and Frimmel. It's a thing called One Golden Hour, exactly what we lost last night. So, two songs about the time change, beginning with Margaret Whiting.
Once I was young, yesterday perhaps, danced with Jim and Paul and kissed some other chaps. Once I was young, but never was naive. I thought I had a trick or two up my imaginary sleeve. And now I know I was naive. Didn't know what time it was. Then I met you. Oh, what a lovely time it was. How sublime it was too. I didn't know what day it was. You held my hand. Warm like the month of May it was, and I'll say it was grand, grand to be alive, to be young, to be mad, to be yours alone. Grand to see your face, feel your touch, hear your voice say, didn't know what year it was. Life was no prize. I wanted love, and here it was, shining out of your eyes. I'm wise, and I know. Thank you. love, and here it was, shining out of your eyes. I'm wise, and I know what time it is now.
The owner of a local record shop is of the opinion that every record is the absolute favorite of somebody somewhere out there, and I'm not so sure I share that opinion. I don't think there's probably anybody who would claim Nat Shilkret's record of One Golden Hour as an all-time favorite, but maybe somebody out there will step forward and prove me wrong. Maybe one of you. I don't know. It's a nice record. I like it, but it's not one of my Desert Island discs. Victor 20370, gosh, I mean, Gladys Rice singing the vocal from November 11th, 1926, recorded in New York City. Nice tune, pleasant enough record. I shouldn't be poking fun. Before that, Margaret Whiting singing a tune by Richard Rodgers and Lorenz Hart from 1947, I Didn't Know What Time It Was, and that was Capitol record number 20114. Both of those reminders to double-check your clocks. Although, you know, these days with so many clocks being either on computers or otherwise attached or a part of computerized devices, whether it's DVD players or microwave ovens or what, a lot of them seem to set themselves nowadays so that changing clocks at this time of year isn't quite as big of a deal as it may have been in the past. Although, I have a DVD player that was programmed for daylight savings time changes, I think about 15 years ago, before new daylight savings time laws went into effect that changed the weekends at which the clocks are changed. So my DVD player always now tries to move me an hour back sometime in early October, and then it doesn't spring forward until April, I think. And so one of these mornings in a few weeks, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to panic because I glanced over at that and think that I've lost yet another hour. But oh well, that has nothing to do with the 78s. So let's get back to the music now. The first opera that I ever saw in person back when I was in, I think, middle school, was a production of Bizet's Carmen. The town where I grew up didn't have a whole lot of a local opera scene at the time, although that has since changed, but a touring production of Carmen came through, and I went to see that and enjoyed it thoroughly, and it set me on a path where I now enjoy going to catch an opera here and there when I can. I wouldn't say I'm the most rabid of opera fans, but I enjoy it. And right now, right here in Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh Opera is putting on a production of Carmen, that same opera that I saw for the first time quite a while ago. But that got me thinking about some of the melodies from Carmen, and I know among opera fans, Carmen is sort of, I don't know, a lot of people like to look down on it because it's a lot of pop tunes, basically, strung together. People will say it's not really opera in the tradition of Verdi, and certainly not the tradition of Wagner, but it has a lot of great melodies, I think. And I think popular performers have noticed that through the years, and there are quite a few records of popularized versions of songs from Carmen. So first we'll hear Sam Lannon and his orchestra on Columbia 453-D from April 22nd, 1925. One of Columbia's very early electric recordings, Carmen Capers. And then we'll hear a pianist, Art Young, recording for the London label in 1948, play the Habanera from Carmen. So, two selections now in honor of the Pittsburgh Opera's production of Carmen, starting with Sam Lannon. Thank you. Yeah, kind of a nice slow stride version of the Habanera from Carmen by Georges Bizet. That was Art Young at the piano, London record number 126 from 1948. Before that, Sam Lannon and his orchestra from 1925, a Columbia disc of Carmen Capers. Well, earlier this week, I happened to turn on the TV for a few minutes just before heading off to bed, and one of those local vintage TV rerun channels was showing The Andy Griffith Show, and it was an episode I like a lot in which Barney Fife fancies himself a singer and joins the town choir. And the joke throughout the whole show is that Barney really can't carry a tune. He's a terrible singer, and the rest of the choir with Andy in the lead has to figure out a way to get Barney out of the choir, or at least silence him in time for a choir competition. Well, in the early part of the episode, Barney is sort of mopping the floor around the courthouse, and he's singing to himself a few measures of a song called Juanita. And, of course, I think he's singing it because, as if you've ever watched the Andy Griffith Show, he sort of has a sideline girlfriend, Juanita, who we never see, who works at the diner. And so here he is singing, Juanita, Juanita, as he's mopping the floor. Well, Juanita is a real song. It was first published in 1855 and credited to the Honorable Mrs. Norton, who was Caroline Sheridan Norton. And the song became fairly popular and throughout the rest of the 19th century, and it was recorded a handful of times. And I thought, why don't we listen to one of these early recordings of Juanita? So we'll hear the Archibald Brothers Quartet, another unaccompanied male quartet, from 1910, June of 1910, recorded in New York City, Columbia A903. And then, just for good measure, we'll throw in another Juanita song, although it's a totally different melody, written by Willie Krieger and played by Billy James Dance Orchestra, which is really a pseudonym for Willie Krieger. This is a Jewel record, number 5539. The song is called Nita, My Juanita, and Arthur Fields will sing the vocal under the pseudonym of Harry Crane, and this one comes from January of 1929. So, two Juanita songs now in honor of Barney Fife and his illicit love affair with Juanita at the diner, for no reason at all. First, here's the Archibald Brothers Quartet.
Thou art the light of the world.
And there you have Arthur Fields singing under the pseudonym of Harry Crane in January of 1929 for the Jewel label, one of those ARC products. Billy James Dance Orchestra, really a pseudonym for Willie Krieger, and Nita, My Juanita. Before that, the Archibald Brothers Quartet, recording for Columbia in June of 1910, and Caroline Sheridan Norton's Juanita. Well, a few years ago, I was attracted to a particular record label because it's such a nice-looking label. It's called Castle Records, and these were manufactured for the Castle Jazz Band out of Portland, Oregon, right around 1950. This was really a vanity press for them. The Castle Jazz Band was one of four of the top sort of traditional-style jazz bands on the West Coast in the late 1940s and early 50s, the others being the bands led by Kid Ory, Lou Waters, and of course the Firehouse 5+2. And the Castle Jazz Band, probably the least known of those four, but in some respects one of the more exciting of those four. The records they made just have such a fire and a punch and a freshness about them. And they were sold mostly locally out on the West Coast, the records that they made, and I've been kind of keeping my eyes peeled for them through the past 5 or 6 years, and have gotten most of them, maybe not quite all of them yet, but most of them, and I'll play a couple of them for you now. First, Castle Records number 13, recorded February 28th, 1950. Monty Ballou will sing I Wish I Could Shimmy Like My Sister Kate, and then it's an old ragtime tune, Smoky Mokes, composed by Abe Holzman, and recorded here on September 14th, 1950. Both of these recorded in Portland, Oregon, by a man named Harry Fosbury, probably recorded in a woodworking shop, Barney Macon's woodworking shop out in Portland, Oregon, and issued, as I said, on the Castle's own record label, Castle Records. Here you go. I Wish I Could Shimmy Like My Sister Kate.
Sister Kate, everyone there said she danced so great. I realized a thing or two, then I got wise to something new. I looked at Kate, she was in a trance, and then I knew that it was in her dance. All the boys are growing wild over Katie's dancing style. I wish that I could shimmy like my sister Kate. Shakes it like the jelly on a plate. My mammy wanted to know last night why all the boys treated Katie so nice. She can shimmy and it's understood by every boy in our neighborhood. I may be late, but I'll be up today when I can shimmy like my sister Kate. Shimmy like my sister Kate. Thank you.
In case you were wondering where the Castle Jazz Band got its name, it was from the venue, the nightclub where they played out in Oregon, the Castle, which was shaped like a castle, and they played there regularly for much of the 1940s, and when they finally got around to recording in the late 1940s, they took the venue's name as their own and became the Castle Jazz Band, made these handful of records that they issued themselves, and then they more or less dissolved, although there was sort of a reunion in the late 1950s, and they recorded for the Good Time Jazz label and put out one or two LPs and then kind of disappeared for good, I think. But I'm glad they made the records they did. They're a lot of fun to listen to. We heard Smoky Mokes there, and right before that, I Wish I Could Shimmy Like My Sister Kate, both of those from 1950. Some time ago, I came across a really interesting cute little record. I mean, this thing is 5 inches in diameter, exactly the same size as a CD. So I actually keep it in a little paper CD sleeve because I otherwise don't have a legit record jacket small enough for it. This is a record I don't know who's performing, but it's a saw solo on one side, musical saw, and on the other side, a musical saw duet. First, we'll hear My Wild Irish Rose, and then it's The Old Folks at Home, Stephen Foster's tune, otherwise known as Suwannee River. And the story behind this record is that it was issued probably in about 1926 as a free giveaway for the Musil and Westfall Musical Saw Company of Wisconsin. They had this record recorded, and they offered it free in a lot of newspaper and magazine advertisements that they placed around, free to anybody who sent in for it. All you had to do was send a dime for postage and processing, and they would send you this little 5-inch record, which demonstrated the beautiful tone of the musical saw, which they likened to the sweetness of a violin. And there was something of a fad for playing musical saw in the 1920s, and people who look around at acoustic records from the early 20s will find often quite a few saw records here and there, because the saw recorded very well. It's very pure tone, recorded well on the acoustic process, as you will hear. This particular record was recorded by what became known as the Flexo Record Company of San Francisco, California, but this is from that company's early years when it was based in Kansas City, Missouri, as the Warner Record Company, sometimes known as the New Flexo Company. Anyway, it's kind of pressed in a flexible plastic material, and if you hold it up to the light, you can see right through it. It's a little translucent, kind of a dark greenish color. But again, I'm riding off the rails. This was recorded probably in Kansas City, Missouri, in 1926. And see what you think of the musical saw as it winds its way through My Wild Irish Rose. And then, what's better than one saw? Two saws. And we'll hear Old Folks at Home. If you want to see one of the magazine advertisements that promoted this little free giveaway record, I'm going to put it up on the page for this program on my website, which means this is as good a time as any to put in a little plug for the website, www.briansright.com, or you can visit the older site for this, www.shellacstack.com, and there's a little link there that will redirect you to my new all-inclusive site where I include all of the Shellac Stack programs. You can see label scans. You can contact me there through the contact form. Just say hi if you're so inclined, or if you feel like making a request, you can do that as well. You can also see what else I'm up to. I play piano and I have my performance schedule posted there and other things. BrianSWright.com, or just do a Google search for Shellac Stack or my name and I'm sure you'll find it. Anyway, two recordings there, very short, on a little 5-inch record. I wish I knew who was playing. It's fun. If you look at the advertisement that came out in 1926 along with that record, they promote the musical saw as an instrument that you can learn very, very quickly. It requires no previous musical experience, and they practically guarantee that within 48 hours, you will be a professional-level saw player out there making money as a, as a musical saw soloist. I have to wonder how many people really did realize the kind of financial success the advertisement promises. A little musical saw goes a long way, and if you don't have an accompanist, if you're just playing musical saw all by yourself, I have to wonder how many venues are really going to hire you and pay you good money to come sit out there and wrap this thing around your knee and play Old Folks at Home half a dozen times. Probably not too many, but it's fun to look at, so I'll put that up on the website. Well, with that record, we've come to just about the end of another Shellac Stack program. As always, thank you very much for taking this time to tune in and listen to the program. If you enjoyed it, I hope you'll spread the word, tell your friends about the program. You may also want to consider logging on to iTunes and the iTunes Music Store, where you can subscribe to the Shellac Stack and receive all future programs delivered automatically to your computer. If you feel so inclined, you can also leave me a little review there, which would help to tell other people that you enjoy the Shellac Stack program. No pressure, of course, just if you feel so inclined. Anyway, well, the last record on the stack today is Lee Morse and her Bluegrass Boys. I pulled this out for no reason at all, except that I like it. And this is Columbia record number 1972, recorded September 11th, 1929. Lee Morse singing Sweetheart's Holiday. Great, great record. So I hope you'll enjoy this, and thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time for more 78s on the Shellac Stack. Take care.
With the little stars above, they told me something new that's gonna tickle you. They're gonna name a holiday for everyone in love, a Jack and Jilly day, when you can love your troubles away. The man in the moon, he's shaking a broom, he's sweeping the Milky Way. Tell your steady to get ready for a sweetheart's holiday. The birds of the land are forming a band, and oh, what a tune they'll play. Congregating, syncopating for a sweetheart's holiday. Pack up your hugs and kisses and fall into line. Be there at 7:45, moonlight saving time. So line up your cars right under the stars, way out where the breezes play. Tell your steady to get ready for a sweetheart's holiday. The man in the moon is shaking a broom, sweeping the Milky Way. Go tell your steady to get ready for a sweetheart holiday. The birds of the land are forming a band, and oh, what a tune they'll play. Congregating, syncopating for a sweetheart holiday. Pack up your hugs and your kisses, and all right into love. saving time. So line up your cars right under the stars way, out where the breezes play. Tell your steady to get ready for a sweetheart.